and welcome to the Animation Podcast, a weekly podcast about all things animation brought to you by Filmbook. My name is Matt Brunet, but some of you may know me as Animat from my YouTube channel, Electric Dragon 505, home of web series that are all about animation, like Animation Look Back and Animat's Reviews. If this is your first time here in the Animation Podcast, well, let me just say that the title will explain everything for you. Okay, you see, this is a podcast, right? All right, and also, it's about animation. That is why it's called the Animation Podcast. But specifically, it's all about the latest news that happened this week. Okay, so to start things off, we're going to go into Matt Groening, who has signed on with Netflix to make an all-new animated series. And then next up, we're going to be looking into The Asylum, opening up a new animation division. Then afterwards, we're going to be looking into TJ Fixman, who recently got hired to write Popeye. Then afterwards, we're going to be looking into the release date of the English dub of Boy and the Beast. And then finally, we will end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. If you want to check out more episodes of the Animation Podcast, then head on down to Filmbook, that is film-book.com, by searching the Animation Podcast. You can also email us at podcast@filmbook.com with the Animation Podcast in the subject line. Now, to start things off, this is something that might interest a lot of people. This is regarding one of the most influential people on television, and now he's going to go and take a brand new step. Now, what I'm talking about is that Matt Groening is now in talks with Netflix about making a new animated series. Not Simpsons, not Futurama, but something completely new. Now, so far, what it's going to be about is completely under wraps. We don't know what it's going to be, but for now, that they're just going to make, well, for now, a 2-season of 10 episodes each of this new thing, apparently. So, this could actually start out making a brand new animation division for Netflix themselves. Like, I know there already are some Netflix original animated series, but let's face it, most of them, or practically almost all of them, are from DreamWorks anyways. Now they're going to get Matt Groening on board in order to go and make a new series for them. Now, I understand how this is really fascinating to see, considering that Matt Groening is the most influential and one of the most, like, pretty much the man who has created two of the most life-changing, groundbreaking, and biggest animated series that has ever graced the silver screen, both The Simpsons and Futurama. So having Matt Groening involved to make a new series for them is going to be quite fascinating. But at the same time, I feel like there's a little bit of a catch to it. Yes, Matt Groening is the creator of two of the most amazing series that are on television. But keep in mind, Matt Groening is the creator of only two animated series on television. That's it. He's only, like, yeah, he's known to make Simpsons and Futurama, but what other TV shows has he done? You know, like, yeah, there's Seth MacFarlane, who, like, he has done several TV shows, but, like, when he would make an animated series, most of them would end, like, I'll admit, I'm a Seth MacFarlane fan, but most of them would end up the same, you know? Like, there's Family Guy, but then you also got American Dad, and then you got his, I think his new series, Border Town or Borderland or something like that, but yeah, they end up looking sort of identical in a sense. Yeah, and also, add the Cleveland Show on top of that. But yeah, you get like where I'm going with this. They all end up pretty much the same. But with Matt Groening, you never know what this new series is pretty much going to end up. You never know if it might end up being as big as Futurama or The Simpsons, or it might end up being a dud. But I guess that's one of the biggest things that I am worried about for this series, is that people might end up putting such high expectations for it. They might think that this could be like the next Simpsons or the next Futurama, but keep in mind, like, maybe it might not be. We don't know what Matt Groening is fully capable of. For now, we only know him as someone who is absolutely reserved, working with the very few things that has worked tremendously for him. So, will this new series be completely great? I don't know, but we'll just have to wait and see what Matt and Netflix has in store. Now, our next story is something that I have to look at, and the only thing I can ask is just, why? Okay. Anyways, you guys know The Asylum, which for a while they have been infamous for making, like, cheap, low-budget rip-off movies of, like, highly successful films like Transformers and stuff like that, but suddenly they hit really big in recent years with the Sharknado franchise, and they and ever since then business has been completely booming for them. Like everything has been going up in business, all except for the quality of their movies. Well, apparently they decided that they're going to completely grow their business, and the CEO of The Asylum, David Rimawi, decided, you know what? They actually said, our in-house visual effects department is used for creating many, many sharks and robots for our live-action films. So why don't we go and open a frickin' animation studio? Yes, The Asylum is officially opening up a brand new animation studio, and it's because of what they've done with like the special effects for movies like Sharknado, they feel the need that, oh, you know what? We can do animated films. And they actually have one, like, already in production, and it's called Izzy's Way Home. Now, if I can read a little bit of the synopsis here, Izzy's Way Home centers on a picked-on aquarium fish who escaped her yacht home, unaware of the dangers that await in the open ocean. With the help of other misfits, she learns how to brave the perils of the sea and how to be true to herself. And I would like to mention that this will be released at the end of spring and the early summer, which coincidentally is almost at the same time or before as Finding Dory. And yeah, that's essentially what, like, knowing Asylum, this is what it is. It looks like a ripoff of Finding Dory. Even the picture that I'm seeing right now, like, we see this, you know, your typical purple animated fish, and right next to it, it's this, I don't know what the fridge this is. It's like this giant, long, green, disgusting worm thing. Like, I don't know. It looks like it has the a mutated face of Ducky from Land Before Time. And yeah, this is like, oh, good God. But just the idea of The Asylum opening up a brand new animation studio and just doing that, I honestly, that's just, for God's, okay, because here's the thing. For those of you who have seen at least one Asylum movie, and like, or at least a Sharknado movie, you'll know that the sharks in there, they look bad. They look laughably terrible. The CGI there looks horrendous. Like, there is no way a human being will look at this and find that that's a believable shark. Like, people who have been complaining about mainstream CGI will find a new appreciation for it after seeing Sharknado. I mean, my God, those sharks look horrible. They just look completely dumb. And the fact that they think they're capable of doing an animated film? Why? And like, already I'm seeing people, they're already accusing this of being a Finding Dory ripoff. It's just, what are you doing? Like, do you really want to get into that kind of trouble? Do you really want to go and oh my God, do you guys really want to go and try to be the next Video Bring Quito? Because my God, we don't need any more ripoff animated features. And you know, admittedly, they're not trying to blatantly rip off Finding Dory with this one. It's just that the theme of an animated fish movie, and it's like really close to the release date of Finding Dory, is just way too freaking coincidental, you know? It's like making a martial arts animated feature with bears, and it's like close to the release date of like of one of the Kung Fu Panda movies. It's just way too coincidental. But yeah, oh good God, I'm not excited for this. But apparently, the Asylum will be preparing their brand new animated film, Izzy's Way Home, in May on DVD. Now, our next story is a movie that a lot of people thought it was dead, considering that the man in charge of it, like, pretty much quit and might have pretty much quit the entire studio in general. But that does not seem to be the case. Sony Pictures Animation decided to take one step to try to revive one of their projects that fully didn't work out, and that is regarding Popeye. And what they decided to do is that they brought in TJ Fixman to write the story. If you guys don't know who TJ Fixman is, right now he's been pretty busy working with so many different studios like Disney and Universal and New Line Cinema, working on so many different scripts like One Night on the Houston, The Lost, and Gargoyles and stuff like that. But the one thing that he has recently been doing and what he has been known for doing is being one of the writers of many of the Ratchet and Clank projects, including the upcoming Ratchet and Clank film. So they decided they're going to bring him and be in charge of the writing for Popeye. Now, does this necessarily mean that Popeye will be brought back to life? Maybe not. Like the only surefire way that we know that this will happen is when the movie will have a release date. But with that in mind, there is one really interesting thing about Popeye, is that now that they brought it back, what are they going to do with it now? Because clearly, they're not going to go in the same route that Jenny Tartakovsky wanted to do with his original idea with Popeye. And if you don't know about what originally happened, is that apparently, back at the end of 2014, when Sony Pictures Animation decided to release the test animation of Popeye and it went viral online, apparently what happened is that the people at Sony, they did not like the direction it was going. And due to creative differences, Jenny Tartakovsky decided to quit the Popeye project. And at this point, we don't know what's going on now, and we've heard that Jenny was really, like, he really wasn't happy with working on the Hotel Transylvania movies, so it could be highly possible that he quit Sony Pictures Animation altogether in order to go and do the Samurai Jack, the Samurai Jack revival. Now, with that said, so I'm going to be very honest with you guys. I think I can understand why Sony Pictures Animation did not fully go with what Jenny Tartakovsky wanted to do with Popeye, because I'm going to be honest. What he has done with Popeye, it's basically kind of the exact same thing with what Sony has already done with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. And if they're going to do that again, they're just going to end up being this dumb one-trick pony that only knows how to do, like, goofy, rubber hose, cartoony animation and literally nothing else. Like, yeah, like, having a signature style or a signature voice is one thing, but doing the same thing over and over again, like, that's not going to be bring you money. That's not innovation. You're just, you know, that's basically recycling old dumb material, or in this case, it's old dumb material that doesn't even frickin' work in the first place. So yeah, I don't blame Sony for really, booting out Jenny Tartakovsky for what he did with the project, because it's not that good, to be honest. And But I will say, at this point, if they're going to bring back Popeye, the one thing I would love to see them do, if they want to stick to the, like, rubber hose animation and stuff like that, there is a way that they can make it work. And I don't know, like, maybe it's too much to ask, considering that this is Sony Pictures Animation, and often they don't have the, like, their intelligence don't have the capacity to do something smart. But I will say that there is one way they can do that can make this look amazing. And that is if they can do the same 2.5D animation like they've done in the Peanuts movie. Like, completely hide the fact that these are 3D characters and just make them look 2D altogether. Just show it from the lighting and the textures that it's made in computer. But other than that, just keep the characters flat. And that way, it will make the movie look amazing. And for once in Sony Pictures Animation's life, can make the cartoony animation look good. But yeah. Maybe. I don't know. Like, this could be interesting to see how it turns out. Now, I'm not going to say, like, I'm going to be fully anticipated for this. I don't know much of TJ Fixman's work. I haven't played the Ratchet & Clank games, so I don't know how the writing is. But also, I just want to mention at this point, if they really are serious about bringing the Popeye project back to life and actually fully going forward with it, we're not going to see it for a while because they have scheduled a lot of their stuff, they've scheduled, like, Get Smurfy and the Emoji Movie in 2017, and they already got, like, a Peter Rabbit project and Hotel Transylvania 3 coming out in 2018. So it could be possible that, like, if they will do Popeye and if they decide to fully go with it, then I'm guessing maybe we'll see it somewhere in 2019 or 2020. Now, our next one is a highly anticipated animated feature that I know that a lot of people are loving, and maybe it will do more justice with an English dub, which is going to be coming from Funimation, and I am talking about, of course, The Boy and the Beast. Now, I have previously talked about The Boy and the Beast here before, and this is the animated feature that is brought to us by Mamoru Hosoda, who is pretty much the next new Japanese animation director that is fully beloved and is pretty much up there next to people like Satoshi Kon and Hayao Miyazaki and stuff like that. And he has already done some fascinating works like Wolf Children, The Girl That Leapt Through Time, and Summer Wars. And this is his next new film. His next new interestingly creative and fully imaginative animated feature with The Boy and the Beast. And now Funimation has announced that they will be bringing up a brand new English cast for it. And apparently, the cast here includes, it's not like Studio Ghibli where they actually hired big name celebrities in order to do these. They actually brought in Lucy Christian to voice Kyuta. Eric Vale will be the teen Kyuta. And John Swayze will be Kumatetsu. And the others will be voiced by Bryn April, Monica Real, Alex Organ, Ian Sinclair, Sean Hennigan, Morgan Berry, Austin Tyndall, Brittany Karbowski, John Grell, Jessica Caravan, Chuck Huber, and Steve Powell. Now, I will admit, for me, I will say that I would be interested to see A Boy and the Beast. It does look like a pretty fascinating project. And actually, I need to get down into seeing many of the Mamoru Hosoda films. Like I said, he's starting to become a pretty big name in Japanese animation, so I better get down to this. And I don't know. Like, it's actually going to be released pretty soon. They will get advanced tickets to go on sale on February 5th. So if you guys want to get early reservations for it, And on a side note, I forgot to mention that, yes, sadly, it did not get a nomination for the Oscars, but it did get nominated at the Annie Awards for Best Independent Animated Feature, so at least it got a little bit of recognition. But if you guys are excited to go see the movie, the English dub of it will be released in U.S. theaters on March 4th. And finally, let us end things off with Matt's Pick of the Week. Now, previously, I have talked about Criminal Activity in this show before, but I gotta say, for the person involved here, I'm honestly a bit shocked. It's like, really? How could you, dude? And honestly, like, I don't know. I just feel pretty surprised about this. But hopefully things will go well in the end. I do hope. But anyways, the story here is about Roger Bumpus. And what happened is that he got arrested for a DUI. Now, when cops tried to talk to him and stuff like that, he pretty much decided he wanted to, like, walk away. And, like, it was clear that he was completely drunk. And he even failed the sobriety test, where his blood alcohol level was actually twice the legal limit. And I don't know what the legal limit is. I don't know. I'm guessing, isn't it like 0.08%, I believe? Just going to do a quick research here. Blood level. Okay, I was right. Okay, it's 0.0. Okay, so it's 0.08%. But apparently, like, he was at 0.16%. And here's pretty much the kicker. Now, if you don't know the name of Roger Bumpus, he's actually a voice actor. Now, he has done previous works before, but his most well-known role is actually Squidward. Yes, Roger Bumpus is the voice of Squidward Tentacles from SpongeBob SquarePants. And somehow, I can imagine a lot of you right now might think that it's funny because, like, you're thinking of making all these kinds of jokes of how Squidward is just drinking all his troubles away because of all the shenanigans that SpongeBob has been doing. And, you know, I'll be honest, I would love to do a Squidward impression for you guys. I can actually do a pretty good Squidward impression, but unfortunately, I'm at the tail end of trying to recover from a strep throat, and I don't, like, maybe as you can probably hear throughout the entire podcast, you might hear that I still have a little bit of it, but, you know, I still got my energy to do this show, so at least I'm still letting that go, letting that continue, but it's just, I honestly just can't do it, but, yeah, like, but, anyways, enough of my miseries. As you could tell, like, I'm sure a lot of people can, are thinking of doing those jokes. And, like, it's weird, especially that out of all the sites that I would have to find my information for this, I'm on freaking TMZ. Like, yeah, like, I'm talking about, yeah, I'm doing a story on the animation podcast on, like, and I'm using a TMZ article. It just feels weird. But honestly, it has been a little while since he has been arrested for his DUI. But I do hope that everything will be fine for Roger Bumpus. And, hopefully he has learned his lesson. And I certainly do hope that his relationship with Nickelodeon and stuff like that won't be too poisonous. Or, like, you know, he won't lose his career or anything like that. But anyways, I just wish Roger the best of luck. And seriously, not just for Roger, but for everyone else, please drink responsibly. You know, like, there are taxis out there. There are Ubers out there that you can use in case you want to go out drinking and stuff like that. It's just don't drink too much, guys. Seriously, People, like, cops will know when you're too drunk. And that is all I've got for this week, so thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Animation Podcast. You can find more of my work at film-book.com. Just search for Mathieu Brunet or the Animation Podcast. You can also find me on my Twitter at animat505. If you listen to this podcast on iTunes or any other podcast service, do you mind just going out there and rate and review this episode? And if you have listened to this podcast on YouTube, then hit that like button and leave us a little comment of your thoughts on the news this week. Tune in next week for the latest episode of the Animation Podcast and all things animation. Thank you guys so much for listening. And until next week, see you later, dudes.